Acts the 26th chapter, then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. And here is what Paul said, and this has been going over and over and over in my spirit for days. Paul said, Acts 26 verse 2, I think myself happy. I think myself happy. Now, there's plenty of scriptures to substantiate thinking yourself happy if it wasn't even laid out as it is in the King James here in Acts 26, 2. But Paul said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. And all of the chapter is good, but I believe that gives us the beginning truth that I want to share with us today. Paul was in court facing serious charges. In fact, what Paul was facing at this point, later on, Paul's life was given for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was speaking before very important men and was speaking from the depths of his heart. This message surely cannot just be for me. Because it's God's word, it is of no private interpretation. I feel with every fiber of my being that we're living in a day that we're going to have to get a hold of this truth. Not only once a month or once a year or whenever we happen to read it or think about it. We're living in a time when you're going to have to understand the biblical principles of releasing your faith and literally being able to think yourself happy. Paul knew, Proverbs 23 and 7, that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As anyone thinks in their heart, so are they. The tragedy of New York was because someone was thinking in their minds that which they believed in their heart, and it would be a little more comforting to us in the States if we could hear someone standing up and saying, no, that's not the way it really is. And we're hard pressed to find someone standing up and saying, well, I know some people did this, but that's not the way we really are. There's some things that are very alarming in our world today. And some things have been left undone in our world that we're having to pay the price tag for now. We're having to pay the price tag for 8 years of turning our head and letting this thing grow and grow and grow. And it's going to be messy before it cleans up. But I'm believing that God's going to help us to clean it up. And we can't clean it all up, but we're going to have to believe for supernatural divine intervention. We don't have enough airplanes. I saw a readout of all the airplanes that we have there, from helicopters to all kinds of sophisticated aircraft. I'm for that. I'm for a strong military, but we don't have a military that's strong enough in our own strength to defeat what is in the world today. It's still not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. But coming back to this truth, Paul stood in a court. His life is weighed in the balances. If not today, before long, Paul will be going into eternity to give his life as a testimony for the Lord Jesus. But remember this, that you can be blessed and yet distressed. You can be blessed in circumstances that are wonderful, and yet you can be all bummed out. Every once in a while, someone will come and tell me all that's happening to them. And hey, I know that life can be rough and life can be tough. But you know, the first thing we need to do when the pressure's on, sit down and count our blessings. And I told the gentleman that traveled with me, I said, you know, overseas, they think all Americans are rich. They think all Americans are multimillionaires. And to tell you the truth about it, whoever would be on the lowest economic scale here today, according to their lifestyle, you are rich. A good salary for a very qualified person can be $140 or $60 a month. And that's top overseas. And so you may view your circumstances as being, well, we don't have enough and we need more. And hey, thank God that things are as good as they are. Right outside the gates of the property of the studio is a squatter's village, and most there are Muslims. And then behind the studio, there's some nice homes going in up there. I mean, things, the landscape has changed since we've been there. That nation is blessed. For 4 more years at least, they have a born-again president, and his wife, we know, is born-again, spirit-filled. And many of the cabinet listen to Lighthouse Television. We had a meeting with a gentleman who is very high in the president's cabinet there, and he and his wife both, they said, we thank God for Lighthouse Television, and we're so thrilled that you're here. Thank your people for their part in this, and they're trying to encourage us to take the signal out further west where we can reach 5 million more people. And it may be a culture shock to see a shack and see a little wire out the window or see a television set with some kind of a long extension cord or battery power for about 5 or 6 dwelling places and 1 television set. It's amazing. Some way, somehow they do it, just like it is down in Mexico. I mean, you can see some very poor dwellings, but I remember going across country down there many years ago, you could see the television antenna coming through the thatched roof. Why did I say that? People, we need to be thankful. I need to be more thankful. We all need to be more thankful that things are as good as they are. I mean, it may be a very difficult day for you. I'm not discounting that. But when you go overseas, in their eyes, we're wealthy. And we really are in comparison to them. And I'll leave it alone. We ought to be the most thankful nation on the face of the earth. We ought to be the most thankful people on the face of the earth. But you can be blessed and yet distressed. You can be in the midst of plenty and yet only see poverty. Paul could not think himself happy remembering his wretched past of persecuting Christians and fighting Jesus. This was not the way that Paul was able to think himself happy. Because when Paul remembered his past, I believe there was a shadow that came across his spirit. And someday I'll hear somebody say it, but I personally believe that Romans chapter 8 was God's answer forever to the Apostle Paul to help him out of Romans 7, that he could lift his head up and say, no matter what my past has been, no matter what I have done, no matter what sins I have committed, there is forgiveness in God and there is a new beginning in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul could not think himself happy dwelling on the negative circumstances that surrounded him. Some of Paul's best writings were in jail. In fact, most of Paul's writings came out of jail. Read the Philippian letter. But Paul had learned the secrets of positive, successful living while being in negative surroundings. I want to say that one more time. Paul, the Apostle Paul, had learned the secrets of positive, successful living while being in negative surroundings. Now let me give you some insights from this chapter. This is the way God leads me from chapter 26, the book of Acts, verse 2. Paul said, I think myself happy. How in the world could Paul think himself happy in jail? I received a very victorious letter for someone in jail this week, and they're there with a lot of charges against them. But you know what? Instead of turning away from God, they've turned to God in jail. You know, God does live in jails. Jesus is there in hospitals and in jails and wherever you may be. Now let's look at some of the ways that Paul was able to think himself happy. First of all, Paul got happy, number one, when he thought on his hope in God's promises. I want everyone that has a Bible in this audience to lift your Bible up right now. Would you mind just wave it a little bit and say, thank God for the Word of God. This is God's Word to me. Every promise in the book is mine. I received it. I embrace it. Thank God for the Word of God. Now, I mean, on a slow day when Paul had a lot of things coming against him, Paul got happy when he thought about his hope in God. Read verses 6 and 7. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night. Hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Three times Paul speaks of hope. Whatever your circumstance is today, say thank God for hope. Paul did not lose his hope in Acts 27. I love the meaning that Dr. W. Vine gives to hope. Happy anticipation, confident expectation. Happy anticipation, confident expectation is his Greek definition of hope. This is what he says hope really means. So on a slow day when Paul was having a bad day, maybe no mail had come, and on one occasion he said, no man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. Well, what else do you need? You could have a jail full of visitors, but if the Lord doesn't show up, you're in trouble. He said, for the hope that was before me. Paul was sitting there. He said, well, it's kind of a slow day. And Paul began to meditate on the hope of the Word of God, on the hope of the promises. Maybe it was the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maybe it was the Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Maybe it was he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And when you begin to meditate on the promises of God, the hope of those promises come alive in your spirit. I believe Paul thought himself happy when he thought upon his hope in God's promises. Secondly, and this is in the same chapter, I believe Paul got happy when he thought on God's light that shined on him in the darkest time of his life. You know what I love about Jesus? He's the light of the world. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. And in the darkest hour of Paul's life, it's just like God did, because that's exactly what God did. The light was turned on. Paul was a miserable man. You know, sinners are miserable people. Look at a sinner trying to have a good time sinning. I've seen this week those lines in people's faces. I've seen, looks like they've lived God knows how many lifetimes trying to have fun. Are we having fun yet? And you know the guilt and the condemnation and the craziness that must have gone on in Paul while his adrenaline was flowing, and he thought he was doing a religious thing, arresting the Christians and doing his thing. But well, when the lights go out and when you're by yourself, you're still by yourself. And in the darkest hour of his life, not realizing it was just before God was going to turn the light on. Oh, I love the reading of God's word. He said there was a light. There was a light that was turned on. It's right here in chapter 26. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light. At midday, O king, in the way, I saw a light. God turned the light on in his life, a light from heaven. Above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. I want you to know that Jesus is brighter than the sun. Oh, thank God. The light of Jesus is brighter than the sun, brighter than the noonday sun. So when Paul remembered, I was in darkness, but God turned on the light. I believe, thirdly, that Paul got happy when he thought about the voice of hope in the midst of hope. hopelessness, there came a hope, the voice of hope. You know, the world is hard pressed to help one another. We have a word in season. I said, we have a word in season. Not only the darkest hour of his life, but an hour when no one was speaking meaning or sense or eternity into Paul's life. There was a voice that spoke. In verse 14, and we were all fallen to the earth, and I heard a voice. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, knew his name, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I heard a voice speaking in my language, calling my name. I never ceased to get amused. I heard it several years ago. Brother Shambach said when he got saved, I believe it was, he was walking the streets of New York and some little street preacher, the buses were coming and going, and he was walking along, not born again, and a little street preacher with a raspy voice said, sinner! And he said, somebody knows my name. Got his attention. He turned around. Listen to what else he had to say. And the rest is history. That's the story behind the story. Some street preacher was willing to be made a fool of. Willing to stand out there and let people laugh and point and make fun. But you know, if you can snag a convert like that every once in a while, it's worth staying out there 24/7. Barry McGuire picked up a track, crumpled track. Everyone else was kicking them out of the way. They swept them into the garbage and so on. But somebody left a gospel track and Barry picked it up. And Barry McGuire read hope for the first time in his life. And the light was turned on and the voice of God was made real to his life and God saved him from his sin. Do you realize out of all the millions of people in the world how blessed you are to be born again today? Do you realize out of all the people on the face of the earth how blessed we are to know what we know? Not just to hear what we hear, but to know what we know and to believe what we know. Folks, this is powerful. So Paul got happy when he thought on the hope of God's promises. I believe Paul thought himself happy when he remembered the light that shined in his darkest hour. I believe that Paul got happy when he remembered the voice that spoke from heaven, that knew his name, that called his name, the voice in the midst of hopelessness saying, I am Jesus. But fourthly, I believe that Paul got happy when he thought on, I haven't quit yet. Have you ever had a day when you were on the mat for the count of nine? Mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I mean, it looked like you'd gone as far as you could go and someone put a dagger in and turned it. If you live long enough, that'll happen to everybody. Listen to me, child of God. You may not be climbing the highest mountain. You may not have sung the greatest song. You may not have preached the greatest message. And you may feel like, well, I don't know if my life counts for anything, but you haven't quit. Paul said, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. I haven't quit. You haven't quit. You may not be having the best week or the best month of your life, but you haven't quit. The only way you're going to lose is if you quit. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. How many times has a fighter summons enough courage to get up before the count of 10 and sometimes come back and win the fight? I want to put this into your spirit today. You know, Satan is the author of quit. Why don't you just quit? Why don't you give up? Why don't you quit praying? Why don't you quit tithing? There's so many other things you could do with it. Our children's church, I got a letter from one of our little boys. that he heard about tithing. And he sent his tithe in. And he asked, went home from church last Sunday and asked Daddy and Mother, I want some kind of a job so I'll have some tithe to send into the church. And they gave him a job, and that cute letter had $1.20. One of those days that makes you glad you're a pastor. $1.20. And he was celebrating the fact that he got to send his tithe in. I tell you, that child is setting himself up for some great victories in life. Oh, my, my. I think of years ago, you know, I know so many people, so many families in the Metroplex over the years. But I remember a family that was tight. Dear God, they were tight. I mean, the daddy taught against, attended church, got all the benefits of church, but he was a hitchhiker. It was always the thumb out, not the tithe. And you know what happened? His son picked up on the same theme. And I'm telling you, the misery those people have gone through economically and emotionally and financially. You know, I thought, you know, at least I've taught my children to tithe. I talk to my grandchildren about tithing. I don't want to teach them bad things. I want to teach them good things. And I was just thinking, that little guy sent in $1.20. I don't know what he did, but he was excited that he got to send his tithe in. Now, see, the devil says, why don't you quit praying? Why don't you quit going to church? Why don't you quit this? Why don't you quit that? Why don't you quit? But Paul said in verse 19, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. Whatever you've done and whatever you've not done, praise God you didn't quit. May not make the best showing, but we didn't quit. I'm talking about character now. You don't quit on your first day. You don't quit on your worst day. You don't quit when you understand. You don't quit when you don't understand. You just keep going forward. Well, I must move to the next point. Paul got happy, I believe, when he thought of all the times and the ways that God had helped him. Acts chapter 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Somebody help me. In my darkest hour, somebody help me. When no man stood with me, somebody showed up. Somebody help me. Somebody spoke a word of encouragement to my heart. Somebody helped me. I believe that when Paul thought upon all the times, you know, as I was preparing for this message, and I'm not going to belabor that point, I've lived a few years and I've come through a few things. And I just began to go back to a time that I would have to take the old rubber stamp and say, hopeless in the natural, but God brought us through. And I'd go a few months further and I'd see another circumstance that I'd have to rubber stamp it. Hopeless in the natural, but God, but God, but God, God helped us one more time. Time after time, you relate your own story. Time after time, when you shouldn't have come through, when you would not have come through, when you didn't have what it took to come through, when you didn't know what you were going to do, God helped you. And look at you after all you've been through, and you're here in church on Sunday morning, and you haven't quit. God has helped you. And folks, that's exactly the spirit we're going to have to get a hold of here in the United States of America. We are in challenging times. We didn't ask for the terrible thing that happened in our nation, but we're not going to quit, and we're not going to roll over and play dead, and we're not going to start talking recession and poor mouth and negativisms and everything's on a downer. You know, most people, when they start talking on a downer, you can lead that conversation back up if you'll just step right in there. When I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think about all the ways that God has come through for me, I'm going to think about that. And when I think about the goodness of God, I think myself happy. When I think about the tricks of the devil, I get mad. I can't stay there too long because I get mad. But oh, I back away from that. And I say, thank God, I know someone that's bigger than Satan. I know the healer, not the afflicter. I know the deliverer, not the oppressor. I know the one that can cleanse and wash away every sin, not the one that encourages sin. I know the one that will lift you up when everything else is pushing you down. And when Paul fought on all the ways that God had helped them, he said, I think myself happy. Folks, we have a choice here today. We can either think ourselves sad or we can think ourselves happy. And it all has to come from the heart. This is not just a mind thing. As a man thinketh in his heart, as we think in our heart, so are we. But you know, we have a decision to make. We can look at the negative or the positive. We can get all bummed out reading the newspapers, and there's not a lot of good news in there. There's some if you look far enough, but that doesn't sell copies like the negative. We all have a choice to make. We're all in the valley of decision. And what are we going to do with it? Are we going to be like David's brothers, that every time Goliath, his voice booms across the hillsides, we go back in cowardice? Are we going to be like little David? He no sooner got to the field of battle, he said, is there not a cause? God's bigger than this. That word cause, you know what the original, as I understand it, I studied it out, I don't have the notes before me, but you know when David said, is there not a cause? Actually what David was saying is, all this is but a name. War is a name. Terrorism is a name. I'm not even going to quote some of the names we hear so often. Is there not a cause? Folks, God's the blesser. God's the healer. There is a cause. And God has a stone in your little arsenal. A promise of God. And instead of running from the battle, run to the battle. And be ready for Goliath to say, why, what do you think you're up to? Who do you think you are? These are tough times. These are difficult times. David said, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. There is a cause. You can agree with the devil and go under, or you can agree with Jesus and go over. I'm just thinking from Ephesians alone. You know, these are some of the other things that Paul thought about. Paul said, thank God we're chosen and loved. God chose me before the foundation of the world. He loves me. We're chosen. We're forgiven. We're accepted. We're redeemed. We're blessed now, and we're blessed with God's best. All of that in just chapter 1 of Ephesians. I think some of us are going to have to push the newspaper aside and get the real word out and get the real promise out. Not man's editorial or man's analogy. You see, a theory is man's idea of the way that he thinks things ought to be. But let's get the book out. I've been young. What did David say? Now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. You may be on the mat, but the count of 10 has not come. You may be down, but you're not out. You may be knocked down, but you're not knocked out. So what is my message today? Church, it's time to think ourselves happy. Based on the word of God. It's time to think ourselves happy. When I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think about his miracles, when I think about his healing power, when I think about all the times that God has brought me through. You know, the devil is such a bummer. You know, he will try to blind your mind to all the other times that God's brought you through and put your total focus on what's in front of you right now. But you've got to keep the big picture. You must keep the big picture. We must keep the big picture. All that he was, he is, and all that he is, he will forever be.